Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
Here are the top three songs in country music as of right now. At number three, by the way, I like to do a special shout-out for everybody who hates when I do this. Oh, I had a burp coming on. Oh. I was going to hit it.
You lost it?
And I only do it during the post-show, but I was holding it all show. Dang. At number three, Blake and Gwen, Nobody But You.
I don't love nobody but you. Looking in your eyes now if I had to.
At number two, Morgan Wallen, Chasing You.
Chasing You.
My favorite song in a long time, like on radio. Thomas Rhett at number one, Beer Can't Fix.
Ain't nothing that a beer can't fix. Ain't no pain it can't wash away. No.
Hey, Mike, who's on tomorrow's show? We have two guests. Is that right? We have Chrissy Metz, who from This Is Us. You know what's interesting? We could use our voicemail line. If you have, you want us to ask Chrissy Metz anything, or you want to be like, hey, Chrissy,
oh, that's cool.
I'm so-and-so from whatever. I'd like to ask you this. We'll play the voicemail for them. Right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So we have them, and then we have this couple that got famous real quick, Ben and Aaron Napier. And I have so many friends that are big fans of them. I don't watch their show because it's like an HGTV show. Mm-hmm. And... but my friends were like, you're going to talk to Ben? And so I was like, well, this is one of those where I know that I'm not an HGTV person. That's what they're on, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of my friends are, so I'm kind of doing that interview for them. Pull up some info about – they have a show called Hometown. And so a lot of folks are excited about that. I guess I need to get on the – I just don't watch much Home and Garden or even Food Network stuff. Well, my girlfriend loves that Food Network. And this just been on four seasons. Wow. They're on the cover of People Magazine. So, Amy, are you familiar with them yet?
I'm not. So I don't know.
You're not coming in?
Yeah, I used to be way into that.
She stays home.
Yeah. Apparently, people are calling them the new Joanna and Dick Gaines.
No, Dick.
No, Chip and Joanna.
Chip. Oh,
very, very different.
I thought it was Dick and Joanna.
I was like, why did that not sound right?
That's how lost I am. This is just not my place to go.
Dick and Joanna, they have a thing at Target, don't they? Like a
yes.
Yeah. No, Dick and Joanna are at the XXX store. That's a different one. Yeah, I don't know. But they're great. People love that stuff. I don't know. But anyway, they're going to be on. So if you have questions for them, that would help me too. If you want to hop on with Aaron and Ben, send a question. 877-77-BOBBY. Yeah, we love that you guys can just hop in. A lot of listeners are saying too they love they can call at any time, even when they hear the podcast, and leave a message. Okay, more songs. Number one pop song is called Say So from Doja Cat.
Oh, good.
This is a TikTok song.
There's a lot of TikTok songs,
all
huh?
All the songs now are coming from TikTok.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And who puts them on there?
The artist.
Oh, the artist puts it on TikTok and then...
and then people find funny ways to implement them in videos.
Mm.
Yeah. Number one hip-hop song. 9 foot left,
7 foot slide.
And I'm in the line.
Left foot slide. Left foot up. Right foot slide.
Basically, that's Drake, by the way. Toosie slide. You on that one yet?
For sure, man.
Yeah.
Amy, you on that one?
Yes.
Toosie slide, then I hit it. Is there a dance to this yet?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yes.
It's what it was.
Are you doing it?
No. That's the first TikTok. I think they hit a billion, Mike. You know? First, a billion view TikTok.
The champion of dance is not going to do a video of this.
Listen, I'm on. I moved on my life.
That's an old chapter.
I can't dance anymore. I'm back to where. I'm back to before I started that show.
Yeah, out of practice.
I like to dance, but I'm not very good at it. This man dating a ghost fears that she's cheating on him during the lockdown. This is serious news. I wanted to share this with you guys.
Oh my gosh.
For 2 years, this guy in New Jersey, Gary DeNola, says he's been dating a ghost. Not dating a chick that ghosted him, been there. We're talking like a monster, like a ghost, like a spirit. He said things have been great with Lisa until the coronavirus lockdown. For the first month of the crisis, they were inseparable, that she would cook and fold laundry, watch TV, and have a lot of sex with him, he said.
Oh.
Gary's now fearing the worst because he says that she has stopped obeying the rules of lockdown, and he thinks she's been seeing other men. She's always going out, never tells him where she's going. She says she's going out with friends. Gary goes on to emphasize he's not crazy, but something feels off.
Right.
But he's not crazy.
No, definitely not.
What if, again, he's the only one that actually knows she's real, and we're all going, well, what a crazy, but he knows.
Come on.
What if he has something in him that can actually see all the ghosts around us? You ever think about that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So he's the one going out?
Do you think, this is what I'm going to ask you, do you think he's making this up, or do you think he's nutty and actually thinks it's happening to him? By the way, I don't believe him. I'm just kidding. But do you think he's making the story up, or do you think he actually thinks this is happening to him? Amy, from what you heard here.
I think that he actually thinks it's happening to him. Hmm.
If I saw what he looked like, I could probably tell you.
Oh, yeah. quickly.
I could probably just look at his hair. What do you think, Eddie?
I think he's making it all up.
Lunchbox?
Man, he thinks he's really hooking up with a ghost. That's a problem. But I really think he probably deep down believes he's having relations with a ghost.
Wow.
Do you have a picture of him, Mike, you can show me?
Oh, boy. Is it what you would expect, Mike?
I don't think Mike's found it. That's what he's saying.
Oh.
Didn't Lunchbox?
No, I had a ghost push me in a closet and keep the door locked. He didn't. There was no, like, touching or anything like that.
Mike's Googling it now, man having sex with ghost. We can probably not.
Oh, yeah.
We can probably just move on with the segment.
Yeah, don't Google that, Mike.
The door gets kicked down. There are some things that should go ungoogled.
That's one of them.
Yeah. Let's go back to Aaron Napier. A mother-to-be wants to have her son named Gaylord to respect her family's tradition. But they've told her it would be child abuse. Some other people have. Gaylord. Listen, I don't think that would be bad. He'd probably get made fun of, though.
They said they would call him Gale for short, but that doesn't help anything.
But it doesn't matter. If your name's Gaylord, they're going to call you Gay. Mm. It doesn't matter if that's your nickname or not. When kids find out that your nickname is Gaylord, you'll be Gay. Or Gay. You know, hey, it's the Gaylord.
Yeah.
And if it's Gale,
that's even more, yeah.
That's a girl's name for a boy. My thing was that everybody called me Booby. I didn't like that very much. It wasn't terrible, but I didn't like that very much. Amy, do you have anything?
Little Miss Muffet.
Oh, Moffitt, because that was your maiden name.
Yeah.
Interesting. Little Miss Muffet. Sat on a Toffit.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie?
Or whatever.
They always did the Eddie Murphy thing to me, like, Eddie, why you be so mean to me lately? Like, I don't know, there was some skit or something that Eddie Murphy did. And they would always do that to me.
Oh, so you're compared to Eddie Murphy? Oh, that's a good one.
Well, I mean, I didn't know the skit, though.
Mike showed me a picture of the guy who had sex with the ghost. He probably thinks he had sex with the ghost.
Okay.
He had, like, a little bun on his head.
Oh.
Any guy with a bun. Right, Mike? It's a bun, right?
Yeah.
All right. And he's wearing pajamas with a dog with sunglasses.
Okay.
For sure. He's probably having sex with the ghost in his picture. A survey warns and says that parents spend about 37 hours a week worrying about their kids. Amy, what are your thoughts on that?
That sounds like a lot.
That is a lot.
Oh, no.
Broken down by day, that means moms and dads spend 5 hours a day feeling worried about their kids.
Oh, no. No, no, no. No, not me. Is that bad?
I don't know. How often do you worry about your kids?
I don't, really.
Like getting picked on or... their emotions or their health. Okay.
Emotions. Okay, let's say 2 hours a day times 7. So, okay, we'll round up. Give me 15 hours.
A day?
A week.
A day.
15 hours. Okay. Did you guys ever finish Homeland?
Yeah, we did. I mean, I'm bummed about it. Like, I want it back. I need more. I need season 9. But my husband's over it. Like, when it was done, he was glad. He said, okay, it's good. It's done. He was very annoyed with Carrie Matheson. So he was ready for it to be over.
Amy's off my screen. Is there a mess up or is it just my screen?
No, it's your screen.
Okay, cool. I'm glad to see that.
Is Homeland done?
Yeah, I think
it's done.
Yeah.
Done.
Oh, wow.
Totally done.
I only watched season 1.
Yeah, I thought it was done after that.
And then when the guy showed up on Billions, I was like...
Brody?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, Brody from Homeland. I never watched Billions, but I watched Homeland. I think that's pretty much it. This was a funny story. Amy, so they came and they were looking at your house and they thought your yard was awesome?
Well, no, our realtor reached out to us and said that the new buyers... complimented our yard and asked if we had a yard person, because whoever it was, they just want to keep that person on. Like, they'll just hire them and they can continue doing the yard because it looks amazing. And my husband does our yard. So,
yeah.
Of course, he loved that. That was like the ultimate compliment. I mean, he has a yard competition going on with people on our street, but they don't know it. He just uses every yard as motivation to get our yard looking good, and So now, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, you know what? For the right price, I may keep doing your yard. Like, he loves
he
it so
much. He puts that inside the deal when he sells the house. they put that in the terms. He has to keep doing our yard.
Mm-hmm.
Amy and I were talking about, I don't have fast internet in my house. And I'm doing the show from my house most days now. Yeah. And I don't have fast internet. And they're looking for a house. And it was like, hey, you have to make sure you have super fast internet. There's something called fiber. I don't have fiber. I have you know, normal internet. And so that's...
elite.
It's needed now.
Yeah. Like
if Amy's going to work from home some, she's going to need fiber. And that's one of the things that they make sure they have to have in your house, right?
Right. So we currently have fiber and it's amazing. But not everywhere you move has the ability to get fiber. And so that's what we're learning. There's a couple of houses I really liked. And once my realtor looked into it, she said they couldn't get fiber. So I moved on to the next. And yeah, apparently there's a website you can just go to and that she enters in, she found it and enters in the address and it'll tell you right away whether or not it can get fiber. And I'm thinking, it's 2020. How come fiber is not available everywhere in town? It's like literally from neighborhood to neighborhood. It could be different.
Yeah, I know
it
why.
It just depends.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, because a fiber line has to be installed. And it's like once it's installed, it's there. But it takes a long time to just install a new one.
Put it in the ground?
Yeah, I mean, it's an actual line. So it's not like a telephone. You can't put it on a telephone wire. It's an actual line that's going to go from wherever your internet service is all the way to that house. And then that's how it works. It's literally a fiber line.
Here's the thing. I don't know how anything works.
Mm-hmm.
I just know I like to use stuff. For example, my computer, no idea. My phone, no idea. My car,
yeah.
Shoes, food,
uh-huh.
No idea. Just, I like to have it. I like to have it work well. I like fiber. Don't know how it works.
Yeah.
Why can't we just transmit it down from a satellite?
No.
Satellites. Don't know how they work.
It's an actual fiber line. It's cool, and I've seen it. And if you flash a flashlight on one end of the line, you can see it like hundreds of miles all the way down. It's just a fiber line. That's why it's
hundreds
so fast.
Of miles. Eddie, okay.
Miles.
This is an
guys,
awful documentary
Eddie,
you're giving
guys,
us right now on fiber.
I don't think there's a fiber line that long, but I'm saying if there
can
was.
Can I tell you about fiber? The fiber I like, those Fiber One bars, the gas station. Sometimes that'll be my whole breakfast.
Yeah, I like mini shredded wheats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or frosted.
Do you know what is great fiber for me is mango.
Oh, yeah.
You ever eat mango?
Not
Trader
my
Joe's has great. Oh, you just haven't had good Trader Joe's
not
mango.
My favorite.
They don't put any sugar on it, though. So it's a little sweet, but.
You're talking about dried mango.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or dried mango.
Well, yeah, but Bobby, don't you have to limit your intake of the dried mango.
Or else you have to. Because
your
lot.
Stomach.
Why do you guys do this to me? You're embarrassing me in front of all my friends listening right now.
It's true, dude. We're just looking out for you.
You said that on the show.
We have a lot of new listeners and friends, and you guys just embarrass me in front of all of them. How can I show my face now?
We're just warning you.
Okay. We're out. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Here is Tuesday's Bobby Bones Show. Enjoy.
Bones.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting across America.
Turn it up.
Woo!
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Let's go.
What is happening? Morning, studio.
Morning.
Good for us. We're all here. We're on. I got Betty's new fishing pole today.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Dude, that is a legit pole.
Listen. I got it from Bass Pro. This is not a commercial, but they're a partner here on the show, and I asked for some fishing poles and got Eddie one.
I'm telling you, I have like 10 fishing poles, not as nice as that one, so thank you.
They sent me some gift cards too, and so I gave Arkansas Keith some, and he's in hog heaven.
Just, yeah.
I gave him money to Bass Pro, and that is like, that's where
gold, man.
That's Arkansas Keith's, my old stepdad. And then I gave Caitlin's dad, my girlfriend, and he loves fly fishing, so... Loved it. Oh. And then I went to Scuba Steve because I had one more card. And I was like, hey, man, do you want this? And it's Bass Pro. And Scuba goes, well, I don't really fish. Because Scuba grew up like me without a dad for a long time. My stepdad came into the picture way late. He goes, he said, but I buy a lot of bullets.
Because he just bought a gun.
Yeah, he just bought a gun. Which, hey, Scuba. By the way, Scuba Steve is our executive producer. He's not on the air a lot. He doesn't want to be on the air a lot. But he's kind of running the show from behind the scenes. What's up with this gun? Because you bought a gun.
Yes.
Have you shot it yet?
I still have not shot it yet.
Okay.
I'm afraid. I'm not afraid to, but I'm just afraid of what I might hit behind my house.
Why don't you just go somewhere that will allow you to shoot it?
Eddie was telling me that I can't bring a shotgun to a shooting range.
Fair, but you could go out in the woods, like away from your house.
An open area.
Yeah, and just put up camp. Like, that's how I grew up, shooting a 410.
Okay.
What gun did you get?
I got a 20-gauge shotgun.
Okay, not exactly a 12-gauge. 20, that's a good one.
It's a good first starter. That's what I heard, yeah.
I probably had a 20-gauge at 12 years old.
Okay.
So we're looking...
Oh, my gosh.
I appreciate that.
We're looking at about the same thing here.
Okay, cool.
You can go and find some woods.
Uh-huh.
And put out some... We used to do paper plates, especially if we were shooting any kind of spread or any kind of buckshot, anything like that.
Yeah.
And shoot paper plates and cans.
Okay.
But, yeah... Before you go buy a bunch of bullets,
shoot the gun once.
Eddie, take the guy out.
I will. I mean, we had a social distancing right now, but I will as soon as we're over this stuff.
We played social distance golf.
Yeah, but I don't want to touch his gun, dude.
You don't have to. You stay away from him and be like, put that there.
That's what you do. All right.
Okay. Well, okay. What month are we? May?
Yeah.
Okay, today's May 12th. Maybe like mid-June, you two get rocking. Eddie will take you out.
Perfect. Right.
Okay. Man.
I appreciate that.
I didn't even realize he hasn't shot his gun yet. But he was like, I can buy a lot of bullets. And I was like, that's aggressive. It's an aggressive tactic with a new gun owner. Where do you keep your gun?
I keep it under my bed locked up.
From you, though, not from your kid. No. I know you have a kid. Do you even know the code is the question? Maybe you shouldn't. Locked up because you have a young kid?
Yeah, he's about 2.5 years old. So not saying he would get to it or even know what it is, but just in case he's... Fiddling around under the bed.
Why don't you go get a little Zepco and take him fishing?
What's a Zepco?
There you go. It's a rod.
Like a Zepco. Oh, okay. It's a push. You get a push button.
Okay.
I'm more of an open face guy myself.
All right.
Eddie's got a bait caster over there.
That's right. I do. The Johnny Morris, the carbon light spinner.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is.
I swear to God, this is not a commercial.
But that's what it's called.
I know.
That's
I know.
Literally
I swear.
What it's called.
I promise everyone listening, this is not a commercial.
Hey, but for real, they have these rods now for kids where you just hit the button and it casts it on its own. It's amazing.
It casts. I don't know that I would want that.
Why not?
That's like a golf club that hits it itself.
Well, that means dad can fish on his own while the kid fishes on his own. You don't have to like spend that much time with him.
Well, you get a little... I think you should do that. You should go out, get you a few bullets, but then...
Yeah. Spend more on the poles.
You could go out to a pond or somewhere and take your son.
Would you call it open-faced?
Well, you don't want an open-faced
one. Okay. What'd you call the one that I should get?
Like a push button.
Push button,
you get the little Zebco push button.
Zebco, that's what it was, okay.
That's just a brand.
It's a brand. It's,
yeah. Okay.
That's what we had when I was
12.
Five. No.
Oh, five. Awesome.
All right. Amy, how are you? We got to... go ahead.
Doing good. Yeah. I feel like even though this is not a commercial, I need to talk about something I have from Bass Pro Shops. I know.
Amy, what kind of rod do you have?
I know.
I do want a hat, though.
I have a whole box of them. They sent me a whole box of them.
I know.
I'm trying to land. I told you I'm trying to land Arkansas Keith the fishing show.
That would be amazing.
And that has nothing to do with Bass Pro, but I think he would be great doing a fishing show.
Yeah.
So
I would watch. Yeah. I don't even like fishing.
I would, too.
That's his life. Like, that's all he does. It's amazing.
Loves it. Okay, well, we're here. Apparently, this show brought to you by Bass Pro and Cabela's. No, not at all. Okay, well, let's get going here on the show. I had something else to talk about, but we'll get to that in a minute. I'll tell you in a second. Somebody really, really, really funny passed away, and I don't think that he gets enough credit for being as funny as he was. And we'll talk about that in a minute.
I agree.
And I was watching back some old clips of this person. I was like, man, we should highlight this because he made us all laugh a lot. And maybe he doesn't get the proper recognition. I saw where Jerry Stiller died yesterday. He was so funny. When it comes to old people who are funny, maybe the funniest. Who's an old person funnier?
Betty White?
I don't know that she's funnier. I think she's very funny, but LOL?
No, not a lot.
Who is an old person? Who's the funniest old person? Lunchbox, your thoughts.
Oh, they're old people aren't very funny, so...
Well, I would just say that like different generations have a different humor about them.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that guy that... I mean, I think he's dead. That George Carlin guy was funny.
One of the funniest ever. Not alive. Right, like, who's the funniest old people... Amy, I don't know that Betty White was funnier than Jerry Stiller, but she may be one of the funniest old people alive now, to your point.
Yeah.
And then what do we consider old? I'd say old's anything after 70.
Yeah, that's pretty old.
That's a funny old person. Jerry Stiller died. He was 92 years old. He passed away. He was a great dad and grandfather. He was the dad of Ben Stiller, which is pretty crazy. And he was the dad on Seinfeld to George Costanza, who's going to be on the show later this week, by the way.
Yes.
George Costanza is. Although I can't call him that.
No. Yeah. What's his name?
Jason Alexander.
That's right.
And then he was also the dad to Kerry Heffernan and Doug Heffernan on King of Queens. Here's a clip of him on Seinfeld. And it's him talking about Festivus.
But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
I'm funny. Festivus was a very funny scene. Very funny episode. Then here he is. King of Queens, I watched this show so much. Were you more of a Seinfeld or King of Queens guy?
Seinfeld, for sure.
I was more of a King of Queens guy. You're a little older than me.
Yeah, so. That's why.
Yeah.
For sure.
But this scene where Jerry Stiller, the old guy, he lives in the house with them because he's Doug Heffernan's father-in-law, mm-hmm. Kevin James. And he's just calling to fix the answer machine. And this is such a funny scene. Here you go.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Arthur, it's me, Doug.
What can I do you for?
Actually, I was just calling to check the messages off of the machine. So just hang up and I'll call right back.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Hello.
Arthur, didn't I just ask you not to pick up?
No, you said I should hang up and you'd call right back.
Okay, what I meant was I wanted the machine to get it, not you. I'm trying to check my messages.
Hello.
Arthur! What the hell is going on in your head that you keep doing this? I need to understand!
Anyway, rest in peace, man. It's just so funny. I was reading... Maybe it was Tom Bergeron put a tweet out about him yesterday and said, once in the airport, I was watching a scene from King of Queens and I was laughing out loud watching it in the airport. And I look over and some old guy's watching me watch it and it was Jerry Stiller going, I always appreciate it when someone enjoys my work.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, rest in peace, man. You made me laugh for sure a lot. So I just wanted to recognize him. I was reading a story about how it's so hard to find the one when it comes to certain industries. Like a hairdresser, for example, which, by the way, I tell you, I have a hairdresser that I love. I call her a stylist. I call her a dresser. But I love her. I've been with her for 6 years, and I won't go to anybody else because it's so rare that you find someone that you just trust. Amy, and I'll ask you this, what's the biggest challenge in finding the one when it comes to different jobs for you?
Oh, I'm hairdresser is right up there with it. I think it's hard to find a hairdresser, a doctor, for a gynecologist, if you're a girl.
Amen. Oh.
Yeah. Thinking a therapist, if you do that, or any kind of counseling.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Even
the doctor one's hard for me. I still don't have. I have a doctor, but he's in Austin, mm-hmm. and I don't live in Austin anymore. Just part time. I don't have like a doctor that I'm close to that I can just hit up. It's always weird when people go like, "I'll call my doctor." And I'm like, I just email a tip line. And I'm like, my butt hurts. Will someone get back to me? Thank you, Bobby. I need to find a doctor. And a dentist. I don't have a consistent. I go to the dentist a lot, but I have a building that's consistent, but they're always switching out dentists all the time.
I agree. Dentists are hard to find. So I have a good one. I'll give you mine. He's great.
Can you give me your gynecologist too? Because I was.
Mm-hmm.
The top five hardest are tattoo artist. Which I guess I have a tattoo guy because he came in and filled in the show. I have a few tattoos. If you've never seen me, I'm pretty hardcore. A lot of people consider me like a biker.
Yeah, you and your sleeves.
Except the opposite. Like I'm a nerd with dark rim glasses. Number four is a pet groomer. I don't really have a pet groomer, nor do I find it difficult. Mostly I just say sit down and squirt him with a water hose.
And you're done.
Maybe the vet clips his nails. Dentist at three, I need one of those. A consistent one. Doctor at two, I need one of those. And a hairdresser at one, which is... The one they say is the hardest thing to find. Amy, what would you say? Mine's a hairstylist. What is yours?
I'm going to stick with gynecologist.
Yeah, amen. Amy one time told me a story where...
That was the worst.
She went to a barbecue and her gynecologist was at the barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you talk about? You just kind of go over old times?
I did not talk to him. I didn't. It's awkward. I wondered because he knew he was recommended to me by the friend that actually was having the barbecue. So I thought, how many other people did she recommend and how many people here has he seen mm-hmm. all the things?
And the poor gynecologist is like, he can't go anywhere where anyone has worked on. So he's got to like, look, poor guy, feeling awkward around him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I prefer women. That's like the one time I went to a man, which nothing against male doctors, but the one time I did go to a man, I saw him at a barbecue and I was like, never again.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from England. A 35-year-old man was wanted for failure to appear in court. So police go to his residence. He runs away, runs through the neighborhood. They can't find him. All of a sudden they hear a... from the bushes. He passed gas and led him right to him.
Oh, wow. They followed the gas trail right to him.
Right to him. And he couldn't hold it in. Oh, man, that stinks.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I'm Mud Fox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
It's time for the good news.
With producer Eddie.
Tell me something good.
We've been hearing stories of teachers that are going and driving by their students' houses just to see their faces because they're not able to right now. Well, there's a teacher in Wisconsin named Paula Meyer. She's a high school teacher. Well, she loves to run, so she ran 40 miles to see all of her 40 students at their houses.
So she loved every one of those students. That's what I like. Good for her, by the way. That's great. Yeah. I love it. But you're telling me she loved all 40 of those students? There weren't a couple turds in there? Hey, listen.
She was like, should I skip this house?
I know. She really had to weigh that, I bet. That's great. I love teachers that, I just love teachers because they definitely aren't making a ton of money and they're doing something that is so valuable. So what's her name again, Eddie?
Her name is Paula Meyer.
Paula Meyer, shout out to you. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
According to TMZ, Joe Exotic's clothing line sold out in hours. Just ba-doop. They soft launched it on Monday and brought in $20,000 in sales. The website says so many of the qualities in his collection aligned with the things Joe experienced on and off the show. I mean, I wouldn't wear that Joe Exotic stuff if it was all the clothes they had left.
Right.
I think I would just be naked. Since the full line debuted, 7,000 t-shirts, hoodies, sweats, and face masks have been sold. I mean, it's loud stuff. I'm looking at a big tiger with a tongue out.
Oh.
It's a Joe Exotic. There's a success. What's a success? Like, why is that in Joe Exotic?
I don't know. Success.
Yeah. Because he wasn't that successful.
He's in jail.
Like, end result, not that successful. Anyway, the Joe Exotic stuff. Are we over Joe Exotic yet, or are we just waiting for part two?
I mean,
there's really nothing to be excited about, right?
Over it.
Well, he asked Donald Trump for a pardon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they did a part two on it reopening right now without Joe Exotic, but the place, you know, with the guy, I don't know. I think some people would watch. We're kind of waiting to see what happens with him. The question is, which TV character, if you got to pick, would you want to be best friends with? We'll go around the room here. Amy, who do you think would be your best friend if they were a TV character?
I feel like I want to be BFFs with Phoebe from Friends.
Interesting pick. I think that's of the cast. Well, I don't know. Monica and you, though, have a lot of similarities, too.
Oh, but I'm not OCD.
Right.
Like, I mean, I like that Monica would be clean and stuff, but I just feel like Phoebe would be a lot of friends. It was really honestly between Phoebe and Rachel, and I kind of just want to be Rachel and hang out with Phoebe.
Okay, that's good. I would pick Jim from The Office. Good dude, pretty funny, hardworking guy. Mm-hmm. I just feel like our sensibilities are very similar, which, by the way, he put up a video, John Krasinski. It was the greatest video I've ever seen on the internet.
Hilarious.
Yesterday. And I love The Office. It's my favorite show. So it's I'm putting it as my number one favorite internet video ever. Because there was a couple. Do we have a clip of this, Raimundo? There's a couple, and they were going to get married virtually. And John Krasinski was talking about it, doing it on his Zoom show. And so he gets all the cast of The Office to do the wedding dance that they did for Jim and Pam's wedding. Here's a clip.
Ladies and gentlemen, my dear friend, Jenna Fisher.
Oh my God. Jenna, you look gorgeous.
It's your wedding day. I had to get dressed up. Come on now.
Well, we can't play this song unless you let me invite some of my family to the party. Ladies and gentlemen, the cast of The Office.
Oh my God.
And it was every one of them.
Yeah.
It was Steve Carell. It was Brian Baumgartner. And they're all doing the exact dance they were doing in Jim and Pam's wedding when they come. Amy, I'm not going to lie to you. I was watching it with Caitlin, and she was like, oh, I'm getting emotional. And I honestly was hiding tears because there's only like two or three scenes in all The Office that makes me cry, and that's one of them. And I was watching it real life happen, and I had tears, and I was like slurping them back in with my eyes. It was the – we can link it, but it's my favorite internet video ever.
It's hilarious. And then when Dwight kicks his wife.
Because they do that in the show.
I didn't know
that's
that.
That's a scene from the
but
show.
That made me LOL.
Yeah. Oh, it was just perfect. It's perfect. But Jim, John Krasinski, that would be me. Eddie, who's yours?
Oh, I'm gonna have to go with Homer Simpson because one, he's a dad, and my kids have already mentioned before that I kind of remind them of Homer. So I feel like him and I would just hit it off, drink beer, and throw.
Lunchbox?
Oh, I'd be Charlie Harper from Two and a Half Men. That'd be my best friend because that dude lived the single life, partied like a rock star.
Lived the single life. You're married with two
but
kids.
This is,
what are you talking about?
I'm saying, look, guys, and he had hot chicks all the time. So that's why I'd go with Charlie Harper.
Raymundo?
Yeah, you guys say that I'm exactly like Joey from Friends, so I just think me and him would bond, and yeah. Our humor's the same. We're both goofy guys.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Are we forgetting? Is Morgan number two standing by? Yeah. Morgan number two, who's the friend? Who would you pick?
Oh, it'd be Schmidt from New Girl. Him and I would be best friends for sure.
Schmidt. You picked a dude, huh?
Yeah, he's like the funny, outgoing one on the show, and he's just always like raising some kind of ruckus, and I think he would entertain my life.
Gotta watch out for those ruckus raisers. That's what my grandma used to say. You guys send us so many emails. We love you for it. Let's open up the mailbag.
Bobby's Mailbag.
Hey, Bobby, just call me Carrie. I'm 30 years old and wanted to see what your thoughts and advice are on my situation. Back when I was a teenager, I used to babysit for this family. I was about 13 years old. Their son was 5. I stopped babysitting for them after a couple of years and stayed friends with them, and we've been friends ever since. Their son, who is now 22, recently started following me on Instagram and sent me a DM a couple weeks ago. We've started to get a little flirty. He even asked me if I wanted to go hang out sometime. Seemed like more than just a friendly thing. My question is, can you date someone you used to babysit? Is there an unspoken ethical protocol? What do you think? Signed with quotations, Carrie. All right, that's a fun one. That's a fun one. I do have a voicemail here. This is from Jennifer in Indiana.
My first thought was, yeah, if the ages are fine now, like, that's totally normal. But the more I think about it, I still think it's weird. I mean, I guess technically it's fine if many years have passed and, you know, now they're appropriate ages to be dating. But, gosh, I used to babysit, and even when I was 12, 13, I would babysit 7-8-year-olds. There's absolutely zero chance I could ever date them now, even though we're grown up, because it's just weird. So my official answer is, it's okay, but it's weird.
Okay. I think it's funny. I've never thought about this scenario before. I would say that it's okay. You're both adults. It's not like you were his therapist where you have a legal obligation to not date that person for a couple of years. Even then, I guess you could. It's been so many years. Yeah, it's a funny situation, but I would say it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. Amy, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's okay. It's weird. Yes. Like, but it's funny. Like, it's a good story.
Is
to have.
It though? Is it a good story?
I wouldn't tell anyone.
Is it
that.
Not? Is it not fun to be at a party like, and say, you guys,
how'd you meet your wife? Well, you'll never believe this, Trent. She used to babysit me.
You're like, okay, I'm
right.
Out of here.
Right. I mean, did she, I don't know.
Spank
him?
I don't know.
Him?
Why are you asking me this stuff? Oh, yeah.
Because it's probably, I'm picturing him being really, like as a guy, Bobby, would you be into that, wanting to date your babysitter?
It wouldn't matter that she was my babysitter. That would just be a funny part of it, right? I would just be up for if I liked the person dating them, period. So yeah. That's why I'm going to go, it's okay.
Yes.
So just around the room, it's okay or it's not okay. I'll go first. It's okay. Amy?
Okay.
Eddie?
Oh, yeah. It's a borderline, but I'm going to go with okay, just because they're older now.
Lunchbox?
Not okay. You're a creep.
Raymundo?
What?
Yeah, it is okay if you do the math. A babysitter could be 16, maybe a 9-year-old. 7 years isn't that much once you get in your 20s and 30s.
Okay. All right. Well, you have won 4-1, quotes, Carrie. Good luck on your journey. Let us know how that goes. Let's close the mailbag.
And that was Bobby's Mailbag.
All right, let's hear from Laura in Nashville.
Hey, Bobby and Amy. Morning, studio. I'm calling to see if I could get a birthday shout-out from my daughter who turned 13 today. She just finished listening to your book, Bare Bones, on Audible and loved it. She is so kind-hearted and caring, and last week was tough for her as her older brother, who was in the Navy, deployed 2 months ahead of schedule due to the coronavirus. She was pretty bummed she wasn't able to say goodbye in person, so I wanted to see if you could wish Kalia a happy 13th birthday and play her favorite song, Chasing You by Morgan Wallen. Thanks for being a light to so many during these uncertain times. Our family appreciates all you guys do to support the military and other great causes.
All right, there you go. Kalia, happy birthday. I like that name. Kalia. Happy 13th birthday, Kalia. And we will play Morgan Wallen for you coming up in a second. And also a big shout out to your son, your brother, who had to leave early and is in the Navy. We just appreciate you serving. Oh, that's a lot there. Good for you. By the way, you can call our voicemail line, 877-77-BOBBY. You know what I like about the last voicemail? She had her statement prepared. I could tell.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
She had it on a piece of paper, and she wanted to make sure she got all that in. And she did. She nailed it. I love that. Whoa. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So I got a shout out to one-year-old Magnolia Earl. She is the 2020 Gerber baby, but what's super awesome about this is that she's made history becoming the first adopted baby to be named a Gerber spokesbaby. And the company's been around since 1928, so it's a pretty big deal.
How does that make you feel as someone who has adopted two children?
Awesome. Like, I just think it's great. It brings more, anything that can bring more awareness to adopted children is super cool to me. And she is just the cutest little baby. I see why they picked her. She's precious.
You know, I finished third place in the Gerber baby one time.
You did not.
Seriously?
I was 11.
Okay.
They didn't. That's why. I think that's why I didn't win. All right, what else you got?
So now that Starbucks is open again, I have a super secret menu item that you can ask for. It's the Captain Crunch Frappuccino. And it's not going to be on the menu, but if you say it, they will know how to make it for you. And apparently it tastes just like the cereal.
Can I say this? That I'm always afraid to order any of this super secret stuff because you'll do it and look like a fool. Like, I think this is a lunchbox thing where he goes out today after the show and orders, what's it called?
The Captain Crunch Frappuccino.
And that's all you have to say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let's see if they know it's... Let's see if they just know what it is.
See if it's real.
Yeah, because I just feel like I would go and be like, let me get that Captain Crunch and they'd be like, sir, that doesn't exist.
Well, but it also, it's one of those things, if they don't know and you want it, like I have the recipe too, and it's one of those obnoxious ones where you got to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So if you want the recipe, you can Google it. Well, but I'm not going to read it off.
Mine is like that one order of my drink anyway. Caitlin, my girlfriend always says she runs out of breath ordering mine for me. She's like, I'll take a tall, dirty chai latte, two shots of espresso with almond milk, two pumps of vanilla.
Oh, gosh.
And then by the end of it, she's like, the cars are honking at me. So, yeah. Okay, we'll send lunchbox out today to see if that's actually a thing for tomorrow. All right, what else?
Okay, Bobby, how do you feel about reply all emails or people that reply all to company things that are not necessary?
That it's just unfortunate. I don't get upset because I do dumb things in different places. It's an accident. But yeah, sometimes I get a reply all and I'm like, I shouldn't see this email. Why do you ask?
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe there's some you shouldn't see, but some people just choose to keep everybody engaged.
Oh, on purpose? Oh, no, they should go away. Yeah. They should be put in jail. Oh, I didn't know you meant like that. Yeah, uh-huh. They should be locked away forever. Yep.
Okay, I was like, wait, I thought you were more.
No. Yeah, go away right now to jail. Even though they're letting people out because of Corona, they should still go be in jail. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is super cool of Microsoft. With Outlook and Office 365 and Exchange, they're now implementing a new feature that will block reply all emails from huge lists. So if there's a certain amount of recipients, you're not going to be able to reply all.
Yeah. That's good. Okay.
That's definitely good. I'm Amy. That's my pile.
There you go.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
I got a bunch of good news stories from what's happening with the coronavirus outbreak. Number one.
Number one.
An elementary school teacher in Indiana built a flexible plastic barrier around her door, kind of like Bubble Boy, so she could safely give her students hugs. Now listen to this. A second grade teacher named Kelsey Pavelka built a plastic barrier in her front door with armholes so she can give students a hug when they stop to see her. Now, she's not actually getting close to their mouths or anything, but here's the clip.
Oh, I'm so happy to see you, Saffron. How are you, my love? Okay, good. Uno, dos, tres,
so it's like the arms. You know how you have the arms? You put the arms in plastic?
Yeah.
It's like the plastic, your arms are in there. Like babies, for example, when they're in like the NICU.
Yeah, that's right.
Amy, do you know what I mean there?
Yeah, no, I can picture it, and it seems so awesome.
Yeah. Quarantine hugs is what the sign says, and she's able to give them hugs. That's pretty cool. All right, here is number two.
Number two.
A woman in New Jersey gave birth in late March when she was in a medically induced coma because of coronavirus. Now she's out of the coma. She's tested negative for the virus, and she finally got to meet her baby right before Mother's Day. Holy crap. Donna Molina got sick back in March, had an emergency C-section 2 months before the baby was due. Right after the surgery, doctors had to put her in an induced coma. She beat the virus. She's negative. She met her daughter for the first time for Mother's Day. Here's a clip of her getting to meet her baby.
I'm so excited. Lisa, look at her. I was in an induced coma for 11 days. I was intubated and on a ventilator. They did an emergency C-section, and that's the last thing I remember, because then after that I was out. Her little feet, her little hands, just so amazing how someone so small can pull through and survive. The hospital was amazing. They worked on me. They didn't give up. They took care of me in the ICU. And here we are together, the best Mother's Day ever.
Holy cow.
Love that.
Isn't that a great story? She said the last thing I remember.
Yeah.
And then what she remembers again is having a baby, and it's there. Wow, wow, wow. All right, here we go. Another one.
Number three.
An anonymous donor paid rent for the month of May for a vintage record store in Tennessee. Lost and Found Records in North Knoxville found some unexpected community support Thursday when an anonymous donor paid off the store's rent for May. So they were like, wow, how about that? And so they live on.
Love it.
Love it. Number four.
Number four.
Someone in Michigan took out a billboard to advertise that their favorite restaurant was still open for carryout and delivery, and the restaurant had no idea. They just see the billboard go up. A restaurant in Detroit had been getting some extra business, and they're like, what's happening here? And they found out that somebody put a billboard up.
The only thing he gets every time he comes in, he gets his donut kebab with fries and a nice cold pop, and he's on his way. He just wanted to do something very nice for us. He's seen how hard we were working and, you know, how well we do with customers and all of our employees, and he just kind of, you know, was really nice.
How crazy is that?
He wanted the store to survive.
He wanted the store to survive! Give me one more, number five.
Five.
A post office in a small town in Iowa apparently found a postcard from 1987 while they were doing a deep clean because of Corona, and then they delivered it. They lost that card since 1987.
Wow.
Who? What a person who wrote that card? Yeah.
They're old now.
Dang. The guy who it was sent to still lived in town. They found him and gave him the card. But the person who wrote it, he's like, why didn't I not hear back from William?
What a jerk.
I sent him a postcard from Mount Rushmore. I never heard back from him. Anyway, that's some great stories that came from the coronavirus outbreak. We're always looking for that good stuff, and there it is. Here's a voicemail from Bobby.
I've got a suggestion for Amy about buying her new house. I'd go without a pool for now, because just get a above-ground pool. Generally, I've noticed that people get houses with pools, and they enjoy them for a year, maybe the second year, and then after that, it's just maintenance. They rarely used anymore. But my advice for Andy is just go ahead and get an above ground pool and see how that works before you decide to put in a regular pool.
I appreciate that. What Amy's doing is looking for a house now because somebody just went up and said, I'll make an offer on your house. Wasn't even for sale. So now they have to move. And Amy told us yesterday that her kids think every house in America has a pool because they came from Haiti. And so she's like, it'd be nice to find a place with a little pool. So that's his advice, Amy. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's not, some of the houses we're looking at, they don't even have a pool. So it's not top of the list. It just would be bonus. So I mean, I'll keep it in mind. I guess I think my kids would be happy with anything, really. Yeah. So it's something I'll keep in mind for sure.
Thank you, Bobby. You guys can call us and leave a message on the voicemail if you want. 877-77-BOBBY. That's our number. Over to Amy now for the Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
Why are some fish at the bottom of the ocean?
Why are some fish at the bottom of the ocean?
They dropped out of school.
Nice.
That was the Morning Corny.
Pretty good one. Bobby Bone, come on. Raymundo, our audio producer, is getting married in October. Do you guys have a contingency plan now?
Yeah, the fallback is if Corona's still around, if it's not going down, if you're not allowed to do weddings, then we would just go to the church, me and my fiance, with the pastor and then our parents, and that would be it. No crowd, no groomsmen, no bridesmaids, none of that.
How does your wife feel about that, your fiance?
It was pretty much her idea. She said, that's what we're going to have to do. And then next year in 2021, whew, we're going to have
the lid off, baby.
Yeah!
like I have any idea about what partying is, or if anyone says tear the lid off. I think I just made
never
that
heard
up
that one
too.
Before.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but you guys are cool with that. You just want to get married.
Yeah, we want to get married. That's the most important thing, just to get the document signed and just have that. So we started our marriage in 2020, and then the party can wait. It'll be a huge one. Nobody will even remember that they were spread out a year. It'll be fine.
What about your bachelor party that was supposed to come up in July?
So because of Vegas is back open right now, they don't have the casinos open yet. They said right around Memorial Day, which is going to be a month ahead of when I wanted it, end of June. So bachelor party's still on, boys. Oh. Yeah!
I don't know.
Right. No way.
I don't know.
I'll wear a mask.
I'm a...
Yeah. No, I read a lot of articles, and Vegas is ready to go. And they said, I mean, June...
Oh, they read articles?
Be, yeah. A roulette wheel is going to be spinning in June. Trust me.
So in your mind, you would still have your bachelor party in Vegas in June or July?
Yeah. I mean, if you got to wear face masks, maybe it's a little bit awkward. Yeah. Maybe we get... some women's bras and wear those as a mask just because it is a bachelor party. We're whooping it up, boys.
What is happening?
What is he talking about?
But yeah, it'll still go down, and we still want to do Vegas just because that's the place we can gamble and have the most fun.
Yeah. I bet you, like, you want to go to clubs, though?
We can do clubs. Probably not strip clubs, but yes.
What?
But no, but I'm saying with clubs, though, they're going to be like a quarter, half capacity.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll have to VIP, maybe throw some weight around.
How perfect would that be, though? Huh. That's my kind of club now that I think about it. Going with like 25% capacity where it's not packed.
How do you do bottle service though without touching the bottle?
Are they pouring your mouth?
Oh, they pour
from the top.
They pour the
drink over
the
top of you with a diving board. And well,
that's perfect
open
then.
Open your mouth. Well, Raymundo, we'll see how it goes. Who knows what's going to happen in a month?
Yeah.
We could be living our lives wonderfully. Who knows? I'm excited though that you guys are still going forward with the wedding.
Yep.
Yeah, good. Good, good. All right. Amy, 1 through 10, how much do you love cheese? Because I'm like a 9.8.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll give 10. Depends on the kind of cheese, but 10.
Well, people in France, they're going, hey, you guys got to eat more cheese if you want to save the dairy industry. Can you imagine if, like, this is an important message from the president. You know how it comes across and it's State of the Union and Trump's on. It's like, America, I'm here today because you got to eat more cheese. You want to see patriotism at its finest.
I'm in.
I would be up, lined up, ready to serve my country. Holy crap. Because lockdowns, cheese sales have plummeted, and farmers in France are sitting on thousands of tons of cheese that could all be at risk of throwing away. So the dairy industry in France is going, hey, eat for cheese. They even have a campaign called Fromagissons or Fromage.
That's
like that.
Right.
Yeah. Which means let's act for cheese. Isn't that an interesting one, though?
Wow.
Yeah.
If you were drafting cheeses, I was thinking about this. Who would your first round draft pick be in the cheese draft? Because mine would be, we can have the same pick, it's fine. But mine would be cheddar. Like nothing beats cheddar.
Okay.
Amy, if you had a first round pick, if we were doing a draft of cheeses,
gosh, adult. Okay, like if
adult
you took
cheese?
I'm thinking the adult me, like a child in me would be like, yeah, cheddar all the way. Like I love a good sharp cheddar, but currently me, I am obsessed with goat cheese.
Okay, so you'd pick goat cheese first. No, you know what? Not blah. I shouldn't say blah because goat cheese is fine. It's fine. I just want to be. And I don't guess I have a sophisticated palate enough to know the difference between sharp cheddar and cheddar. Mm. And I do love cheddar, the peppered cheddar.
Oh.
They put the peppers in it. Mm. But I go cheddar, if I were doing my picks in order here. Cheddar is at number one. Huh. I tell you, and you're not going to know. You're going to kind of go, I don't know what that. But when I was a kid, we used to get a lot of government cheese. And that has such a good taste to me because it's what I had as a kid. We had no money. My grandma would go line up, and we get government cheese. And I loved it. It was kind of like a poor man's Velveeta.
Okay.
And we used to eat that, and that's a good taste to me. Like, I love... What?
Well, I hadn't even thought of Velveeta. Like, that's up there with some queso. Is that cheese?
Yeah. What is Velveeta? Is that a brand or a type of cheese, too? Then you get into what exactly is Velveeta. Because,
right.
And is it really cheese?
And then you go into, like, string cheese. Cheese whiz. Like, that's not a kind of cheese. But Velveeta, I'm going to read this here. Velveeta is a brand name for a processed cheese product that tastes like American cheese with a softer and smoother texture than non-processed cheese. When melted, Velveeta keeps a fully integrated and evenly clump-free liquid texture.
Wow.
That doesn't tell me if it's cheese, though.
It sounds like it's not cheese.
I think
cheese.
It has
Mike,
milk
what do you say?
In it.
It used to be made from cheese. Now it's made from... Wow. We don't know. Science.
Wow.
Hey, whatever. Whatever it takes.
It says if you open it, it'll still last 6 to 8 months.
Amy, do you like Cheese Whiz?
Yes.
That's a good cheese.
I don't know the last
one.
Okay,
I'm going to go cheddar. Then I'm going to go Parmesan.
Oh.
It's a tough one.
Parmesan.
I'm going to go mozzarella, then Parmesan, and then I'm going to wrap it up with some Swiss.
Ooh.
Velveeta barely misses the cut. And I don't see where government cheese is on my cheese list. But if I could, I'd put government cheese at number two.
So you're not going to take American anywhere in there.
Isn't cheddar American?
No,
cheddar from?
I don't know.
What's the capital of cheddar? There is no country named cheddar.
The American, you got to go American craft
American
singles.
Cheese is not, American cheese is not that good to me.
Oh,
it's good, but not in the overall cheese world.
Wow.
Mike, can you show me that cheddar's from a different country? Let me see just type in what country is cheddar from?
Good, that's a good question.
Because I think cheddar comes from everywhere. He typed in, okay, here you go, friends. Cheddar cheese. The cheese crap.
Well, where's it from? Where's it from?
Well, it showed two flags. It showed the American flag and the England flag.
Ah, dang it.
But no, I'm wrong. I'm gonna take the L here. Because although right now we make it in America, it says cheddar is the most popular type of cheese in the UK, first of all. And it originated in the English village of Cheddar in Somerset. I'm taking the L here.
It comes from Cheddar, England.
It does. I'm taking the I hate taking the L.
Okay.
I'll take it. But for cheese, I'll take the L. I'll eat. You know, and now our meat plants are struggling because they had to close a lot of them down.
Mm-hmm.
And so just think, if they made us eat a bunch of meat like cheddar, we'd basically be forced through the Atkins diet.
Yeah.
All right. Meat and cheese, a government mandate. Everyone's on Atkins diet. All right. There you go. I think Amy mentioned this in her fun facts too, speaking of meat. Weeks ago, do you remember why Wendy's, because I was reading about beef. You remember why Wendy's is a square? The meat's a square, Amy? Do you remember?
Hmm.
It was one of your fun facts.
I know.
It was really funny, Amy.
Oh, because they don't cut any corners.
Yes, boom. Basically. Because he wanted the meat to hang off the bun and people to see it. Because you don't really see the meat hanging off the bun. And then it was also secondary to show we don't cut corners. Isn't that crazy?
So funny.
Yeah. Man, I love cheese. I feel like I do when string cheese comes about, I would just bite it and I don't pull the string.
Oh.
However, nobody should be pulling strings now. You're putting your hand on the food. That's how you get corona.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I was man before my time. Man before my time. All right, here's Erica from Colorado.
I was calling because a lot of us common folk are now doing Zoom calls, and I notice a lot of times we're just like talking over each other, and then it gets really awkward because everyone gets super quiet all of a sudden, and then everyone starts talking again. It's just a mess. So anyways, I wanted to see if you guys had any advice, with you guys talking to each other all morning long on the radio show. I don't really hear you guys like talking over each other. You guys seem to do a really good job, so I'm just curious what you guys do, if you could help us out. Thanks. Love the show. Bye, guys.
I mean, we're working on computers. The best thing is hand signals. If you have something to say, just hold your finger up, especially when we're all on screens. I'm in the studio today, so we're all working together today. But you're in a bunch of boxes. You want to talk? Hold your finger up. And they'll go, all right, Clarissa, over to you. Easiest way. Otherwise, I get on a lot of Zooms for work meetings. I talk with people in the company a lot. I just don't talk that much until I'm called on. And then I have my island to talk. But it's a tricky situation. For sure. You can call us, by the way. My answer is to hold your hand up if you have something to say instead of jumping in. Looks weird at first, but is far more productive than yelling over each other. You can call our voicemail line if you want. Ask us anything you want. 877-77-BOBBY.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah. On Friday's show, Caitlin will come on and we'll announce our plan. If she's moving back to California, we're dating that way. If she's moving to Nashville but not living at the house, we're dating that way. Or she's going to live, we're going to live together. We're doing that way. We have three options. And so she did text me, and you can see my Instagram story now. I posted this yesterday afternoon because we've been living together for the past 8 weeks now. We're 2 months into being quarantined together. And so I don't think about the single guy things that I've always done because I've always lived alone or I've always had a quick roommate. For a while, Mike D lived with me, who works on the show. For a while, Eddie lived with me, who works on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been living like a single guy. And so Caitlin sent me a picture of, you know how you have the toilet paper stick
yeah.
coming off the wall, and then you put the roll on it. I just laid it on top of the stick. And she took a picture of it and it goes, signed, you live with the guy. This actually made me laugh. And I was like, well, that's what makes me beautiful. Because I just laid the toilet paper on top of it. I didn't actually put it in the roll.
But why wouldn't you just put it back in?
I don't know. I didn't even remember doing it. And it was never in my mind that I was finding a cheap, quick way out. I was just like, okay, toilet paper, put it here, good to go. So I guess that's one of the things I got to work on is thinking that there's, when I have anybody there with me, thinking about that. Amy, does your husband do anything like that?
Well, I was just going to tell you another thing you need to think about when you do decide to put it on correctly is make sure you put it with the toilet paper over, not under.
You know, now that I think about it, sometimes I just put the toilet paper on the back of the toilet.
Oh, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
I don't, all I need, I don't care where it comes from, in arm's reach, I need toilet paper and I can be put it anywhere. Sometimes I'll go in and it's on the floor. And that's just a single guy thing I've never thought about.
Are you putting the toilet seat down?
Yeah, I think.
You got to remember. You got to remember that one.
I don't know. That's the thing. And, yeah. But most of the time, I try to go, especially if I got to hit the deuce, I leave and go to a bathroom different.
Oh, you got another bathroom?
Well, there's a bathroom in the hall.
Yeah.
I try to respect her enough.
That's
to leave,
good.
I try to leave the romance in the, you know. So when I hit that deuce, I try to, you know.
Deuce.
And, Amy, back to your question. Does your husband do anything so like that, or have you fixed him up?
I mean, the one thing I can't get, I mean, he does that. What is it? He doesn't close drawers and he doesn't fold clothes well.
Yeah,
he'll
but he
fold
does,
the clothes.
He does that on purpose. Yeah. He just doesn't want to fold clothes.
I agree.
Yeah. He's a smart guy. So over the weekend, Eddie, Raimundo, myself, and Amy's husband went golfing. I haven't played golf in years and years, and we went out, had a great time. But Amy's husband gave you some advice on the golf course?
Yeah. One of the good things about playing golf is like you have time to talk about things. And Amy's husband and I, we talk about our kids a lot. And so I was telling him something about how my 6-year-old and my 5-year-old, they're having trouble riding their bikes without training wheels. And he was like, dude, I got it. This is exactly what we did with Amy's son, Stevenson. He's like, we took the pedals off and then he learned balance. And that way, that's his first thing he learned. So when you put the pedals back on, that's secondary. And I was like, that is genius.
Wait, what? Say that again?
If you take the pedals off, he just worries about balance.
The pedals, how do you move the bike
with
forward?
With your feet. You kind of just stand over your bike and
then you walk pick it. Your feet up.
Walk a little bit, and then when you go down a hill, you pick it up and you learn how to ride a bike. And the pedaling is secondary. It's not even a thing. And I've been doing it all wrong because I'm like, yeah, pedals, training wheels. But as soon as you take the training wheels off, they're like, fall to the side. So it's genius, and I did what he said. And it's worked so far. We haven't gotten to the point where we're going to just put the pedals back on and let it ride. But they for sure can coast.
Oh, they're balanced coasting.
They're balancing while they're coasting a little bit. I'm like, that. I don't even know why I didn't think about that. But Amy's husband had the answer.
Amy, that's what you guys did?
Yeah.
Did you know that, or is this breaking news to you too?
No, I know. I know that's how we did it. And I can't remember how we found that out. But we were so excited to get them bicycles. And once they got them, we realized, they don't really know how to ride bikes. So then we were going to do training wheels. And then the next thing I know, my husband was removing the pedals. And then once they got ready, we just had to find the pedals and put them back on. And boom, they were riding a bike.
Find the pedals. That's the hardest thing.
Oh, crap.
Great. Hey, so your son has a new job, Amy?
Yes, he collects cans and bottles and is going to recycle them.
Nice.
And turn it in for money. He does these FaceTime play dates with a friend on some app that they play, like a video game app. And it's his friend Landon in California. And Landon does this and made $30 collecting cans and glass and for a while and then taking it to turn it in. And so Stevenson found out about that. And now he looks at it like it's his new job, which he's wanted a job for a long time because Stashira makes bracelets and he doesn't do that. So now he feels like he has his thing and he wants us to drink more stuff.
He wants it from your house. I thought he was walking around the neighborhood finding it.
He is. Okay. He's collecting it around the neighborhood. He would like to collect it from you, Bobby, Eddie, Lunchbox, anybody that has anything, he'll gladly come pick it up.
So what does he want? Just cans?
Cans and glass bottles.
Amazing.
Okay. I'm trying to think how I can help. So I, what do I have that's canned? I drink Waterloo, the canned water.
There you go. Yes.
The sparkling water.
Yes.
I'll save those.
Perfect. I drink, I mean, I can start drinking beers out of bottles.
Yeah. So we'll take that.
Yeah, that
wow,
that
is so generous of you, Eddie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll make the sacrifice
for Amy's son.
And do that.
Wow. Amy, when does your son turn 10?
August.
And your daughter is 13 now?
Yep.
And so is she doing, you said she's doing a school project on you?
Well, I thought it was like all about me, it kind of is, but I don't know that it should be, so I don't know how to handle it. So she came in and had a PowerPoint ready and had like a picture of me, and I thought, I don't know why, the first thought in my mind was, oh my goodness, they told her to go do a project about somebody she admires, and she chose me. But that was a narrative that I made up in my mind. And I was like so touched. And then come to find out that it's a project on coronavirus and she's supposed to give a presentation after she interviews an essential worker. And she thinks because I still go to work every day or I'm doing my job every day that that must mean I'm an essential worker. But I'm not. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, working the grocery stores or delivering things. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not on the front line. I'm not a physical therapist. So I just, I don't know. I feel like I need to tell her she needs to find somebody else. Mm. Right?
Yes.
Okay. You answered that quickly.
Well, I just feel bad for Amy because she thought her daughter was in a project on someone she admired. But apparently
I did.
Amy's daughter thinks that Amy's a nurse.
Well, she knows I'm not a nurse, but she just thinks in her mind, I talked with her about it and she's like, wait, essential worker, you're still working every day. She just assumes anybody that's not essential is not working during the virus.
Well, she has a point. I mean, we have a lot of listeners who I bet we could get and she could Zoom and talk to one Amy and interview one. Would you want that if we reached out, had a nurse and your daughter and she interview, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that could be pretty special.
Hey, how do we manage this, Scuba Steve? Do we just put it, have someone message on Facebook or what? How would you like to do this?
I think the best thing to do is to call the line voicemail. I check those every day.
Okay.
And I'll find whoever calls in for it and we'll get it handled.
All right. 10th caller.
Yes. No. Number 10 right now.
We have a voicemail line. Just leave us a message. 877-77-BOBBY. That's our number. You can leave a voicemail for anything, by the way. But if we have a nurse out there or a doctor that would like to be interviewed, Amy's daughter will do the interview. Amy, you cool with that on Zoom?
Yes, I'm cool with that. But we'll have to get it. I have to check and see when the project is due.
Oh.
But yeah, and my daughter, she's better at Zoom than I am, and she's great. But she could also just do it over the phone as well.
Okay, there you go. We stamped that out. Very
nice.
Easy.
Boom.
Done.
Nice. And she's gonna get an A.
I'll wait for her to do a project on me another day.
Sorry about that. The whole story I read yesterday was Ellen isn't nearly as nice as you're led to believe.
Oh,
I've heard about this for a long time, but I hate this for her. Yeah, Ellen DeGeneres is having more and more stories come out about how she doesn't practice what she preaches. Her former bodyguard recently spoke out to say she's not so nice to those not in her circle. Over the past few weeks, Ellen's been taking a ton of heat, criticized for comparing lockdown to being in jail, accused of cutting her talk show's union crew. A Twitter thread called her one of the meanest people alive. Most recently, her former security guard, Tom, says that she was cold and demeaning. Listen, people are complicated, first of all. I think if people met me, they would be like, oh, he's not the same like on the radio. Because I'm
not. That's not true.
It is true. Because, listen, on the radio, I'm like, I don't talk much when I leave the show. Like,
But talking a lot and being quiet, that has nothing to do with whether or not you're a good person or you're nice.
Well, I think, though, that Ellen could... I don't know Ellen. I never met Ellen. But I'm going to stick up for her for a second in that, just to give my situation. When I'm not on stage or on a radio mic, I tend to be the wallflower, the person who stands in the corner. And I can see how people would go, oh, he's not that nice because he doesn't talk to people. I don't want to like bother people. And I've gotten that before. So I don't know Ellen, and I'm sticking up for Ellen, and I'm sticking up for Carol Baskin in Tampa. We don't know she killed her. I don't think she killed her husband either. The internet gets on these things. And so I don't know. And that could just be a part of Ellen. Don't forget, we're all very complicated beings. Amy is the nicest person I know.
See, but I disagree with you on that.
But even Amy has her moments where she's like, oh, man, we're just all complicated. I don't like it when everybody's attacking Ellen. Don't know her. Not even a huge fan. I'm a fan like everybody else is, like a normal fan. But I don't think you have to be the character that – I don't think you have to be the version of you, the percentage of you that you perform at all the time.
Okay. But also, too, could it be that sometimes people see – like sometimes you have a business side of you that I have
Absolutely.
To remember.
Me or Ellen?
You. Well, okay. I can only speak to you. I don't know Ellen. But I'm wondering if some people that have worked with her, if they see a certain side, but that could be her business side, which has to be a little bit different.
Great point.
And it could be that that's just her doing what she needs to do for her brand, her show, her business. And sometimes you have to make decisions like that and I have to know, oh, okay, this is business, Bobby, right now. And I have to separate that. You're still a nice, good person. But sometimes you have to do certain things that are for your business.
Yeah. There are hard decisions to be made. I mean, listen, I'm basically the CEO and the head performer here on this show. Mm-hmm. On this show, not the company. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want that job.
No.
But you have to make hard. Anyway, I just saw that about Ellen, and I was like, oh, man, everybody's ganging up on Ellen. But I would just say in my offense and defense, I don't think people would meet me and be like, man, that guy's just the most fun guy ever. They'd be like, I was really expecting a little more out of that guy. he didn't really give me that much. So I saw that. I wanted to get to that before we finish this hour. And then I got a note from Eddie who said, I like.
A lot. Yeah. Okay. Like I was listening to the show even yesterday and you're just like talking and I hear you say, I like. And in my head, I feel like you're going to go into, I like big butts and I cannot lie every single time.
Which, by the way, for you youngsters out there, that's Sir Mix-a-Lot. Here's a clip of the song.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Come on.
And so you've made something here?
Yeah, I took something from yesterday's show where you said, I like, and then I put the song to it.
Here you go. I like
big butts and I cannot lie.
I'm telling you, in my head, Bones, every time you say, I like, and it's not like you just say, I like. You say it like Sir Mix-a-Lot. I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Remember when Carrie Underwood rose to me for saying
Bobby Bones?
Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
What's up with the roast fest over here, you know?
Say I like one time.
I like
big butts and I cannot
<That's>
lie.
Oh, wow.
Right, Amy?
Oh,
good ear.
You guys get your little fun.
Yeah.
Poking at your boys.
Come on.
It's time for the good news
with Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
A cop in Massachusetts was on duty and he gets a call on his cell phone. It's his wife and says, hey, honey, it's time to go. We're going to have the baby. So he goes home in the trooper car, picks her up, going down the highway. And she goes, hey, we ain't going to make it to the hospital. He had to pull over on the side of the road and deliver his own baby on the side of the highway.
Can you imagine delivering your own baby?
Wow.
That is all the pressure. It's a delivery, but it's also your kid. Wow. That is crazy. And it's all, baby's okay, huh?
Yeah, baby Jack is doing great.
Man, that is what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Amy, tell me if you believe this or not, because I'm a bit skeptical. This husband and wife hit back-to-back hole-in-ones on a golf course, and nobody was there to see it because of social distancing. And Steve Howe and Carolyn Barnett Howe, a husband and wife, hit back-to-back hole-in-ones from the same tee using the same club. Some number crunchers say the odds of pulling off such a feat are 26 million to one. Normally, there'd have been a big party at the end of the round, and the person who hits it buys all the drinks, but the clubhouse is closed. And again, nobody was there to see them. There is no video. There's no witnesses. It does sound a bit fishy. Amy, do you believe this?
I mean, I read it, and I didn't even think it was fishy until you said it's fishy. I mean, I did see the odds 26 million to one, and I just thought, wow, that's amazing.
Did they swear on a Bible?
Oh, come on.
Let's do that, and then I may consider it. But it's like, what if they did, right? Let's just go to they did, and people are questioning it.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to believe us, honey. No one's going to believe. It's like if I was abducted by an alien. And I'm driving around a small town in Arkansas, and I got abducted by an alien, and I go up, and I come back down, and put me in the same spot, and it's like time hasn't moved at all. It feels like I've been up there a year. But I came back, and I'm like, no one's going to believe me. How can I even share this with anyone? Because no one is going to believe me. What an unfortunate situation that would be.
But you know inside your heart what the truth is.
And isn't that all that matters?
Exactly.
Isn't that? But I don't believe him. All right.
No chance.
Oh. Yeah, no, I don't believe him. Let's go to Morgan number two. Morgan, what can people hit up on the podcast today?
There is something on the internet that made you almost cry in front of your girlfriend.
Well, it did make me cry. The tear just didn't reach all the way down the face. I kind of sucked it back in with my eye.
Like the cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, you can hear that. What else?
We shared the TV characters we want to be friends with in real life.
All right, what else?
A listener asked a controversial question about dating someone you used to babysit.
Yeah, that's a good one. Go hear that one. Give us your thoughts. And but don't forget, you can call us on our voicemail line about anything you hear on the show or the podcast. 877-77-BOBBY. Amy, what's up today?
Oh, just trying to figure out where we're going to live.
Yeah, more of that, huh?
More of that. I feel the pressure, and my husband is way more chill about it because he said, well, the buyers said we can rent our house back from them, but not forever, just for a couple of months. And I'm like, how long do you think it takes to find a place and move?
Yeah, and like clothes and...
Yeah. So I'm like, come on. What about you?
A couple things. I'm going to do a couple interviews. I guess you and I both are. That are going to air later this week. I'll talk to Chrissy Metz from This Is Us. She has a couple songs out now. And then Ben and Aaron Napier, I'm going to talk to them. They were on the cover of People Magazine because they have that big TV show. So, you know, we'll talk to them too. It should do a lot of interviews today. I'll go work out. Normal stuff. I feel like life's like 13% more normal.
Yeah.
Are you guys feeling that a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Un poquito. Not a lot.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Spanish word of the day.
Thank you for the Spanish.
Un poquito. You know what that means?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. All right. Thank you, guys. Well, see you tomorrow. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for telling your friends. Goodbye.
Bobby Bones.